Hey there, Quajo here, and if you haven't heard my voice, I'm the new host of the Art of Online Business. Quick update on my new offer. I did not expect the initial launch spots to sell out so fast. I'm talking about Facebook Ad Setup to Success, which is one-on-one Facebook ads coaching for the driven course creator from me, three Zoom calls within a month, and unlimited support in between so that you can run your lead generation campaigns, your launch campaigns, your SLO, self-liquidating offer funnels, exactly like I would, getting all my tips and tricks and strategies, plus just unlimited support inside of Slack or Voxer, or one lady's even doing it from inside of Messenger, with screen recordings, Loom recordings, this sort of thing, questions. This is what I'm doing, but all those limited spots at the initial launch price, they are gone. And I just wanted to explain that out of integrity to the people who took those first spots. The price has gone up, and there's one spot, maybe two, if I do some scheduling jujitsu for May. Otherwise, we're booking into June. You can click on the link in the description below to find out more, or you can go to theartofonlinebusiness.com/call if you need that kind of one-on-one Facebook help. All right, back to the episode.
This is the show where I bring you the best tips, tactics, and strategies for using paid traffic to grow your business on autopilot. You also hear what's working and not working right now from the top minds in online marketing so that you can get more leads and sales every day without having to empty your wallet in the process. All right, let's jump into it. Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Art of Paid Traffic podcast. Rick Mulready here. Thanks so much for hanging out with me today. Really appreciate it. It's been a little while since we've done a Q&A episode here on the podcast, and I get a lot of questions every single day. So I'm going to be answering five questions for you today. We're going to be talking about things like marketing strategy, Facebook ads, sales funnels, optimizing for conversions, targeting, and more. And since I could talk about this stuff for hours, and I have a lot of questions still yet to answer, I'm going to be doing more Q&A episodes again here on the podcast very soon. So if you've got a question that you'd like me to answer, just hit me up over on my website, rickmulready.com. Click on the contact form, or you can leave a comment on one of the podcast episode show notes pages. Okay. Speaking of which, the show notes page for today's episode is going to be at rickmulready.com/98. Now, before we get into today's episode, got a couple of quick requests and announcements for you. If you're liking the podcast here, please show your support by leaving a quick, honest rating and review for the show over on iTunes. It's a huge help, and it only takes about 30 seconds to do it. So just go to iTunes, if you would, type in The Art of Paid Traffic, click on ratings and reviews, and leave your honest review right there. Thanks so very much for doing that in advance. Really appreciate it. Next for you is I've been doing a lot more Facebook Live lately, and I'm loving it. And I'm going to be doing a regularly scheduled weekly show over on my Facebook page that I'd like to invite you to each week. So if you're not yet a fan of my Facebook page, let's make sure to connect over there on Facebook. And I've set up a redirect link for you. So if you just go to rickmulready.com/Facebook page, it will take you right to my Facebook page, and you can like that page right there. And look forward to hanging out with you on a weekly basis when I do the Facebook Live videos. Lastly, we are quickly coming up on episode number 100. I mean, this is number 98. So in two episodes, we're going to celebrate our 100th episode here on The Art of Paid Traffic, which I'm really excited about celebrating. And to do that, I'm going to be giving away a free 100-minute strategy session with me where you and I can dissect your sales funnels, launch strategy, Facebook ads, creating automated systems, whatever you'd like to talk about during that 100-minute strategy session. We can do it. Let's do it. And during that episode, I'm going to let you know how you can enter to win that strategy session with me. So be on the lookout for episode number 100 coming up here in a couple episodes. Well, depending on when you're listening to this episode. All right, let's jump into the questions for today's Q&A episode. All right, the first question comes from Veronica Rudenko, and I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Veronica says Facebook has recently announced yet another change in their algorithm, Posts from friends and family will now have preference over brands updates in the newsfeed. Moreover, Facebook emphasized that friends and family should come first. This got many Facebook page owners really worried and frustrated. What would happen with Facebook pages reach, etc.? Should we now focus our marketing efforts elsewhere, like Pinterest, LinkedIn, Instagram, Google AdWords? Does it mean our ad budget for Facebook would increase since we'll be paying each time we want to be seen in our followers' newsfeed? How do you think this algorithm change will affect Facebook marketing strategy for small businesses? Do you think it's ultimately going to increase businesses' ad spend on Facebook? What would you recommend businesses to focus on now to reach their audiences on Facebook? This is such a great question from Veronica. And I actually talked about this and this exact question. It wasn't from Veronica, but I talked about this exact topic during a Facebook Live over on my Facebook page a few weeks ago. I'll be sure and link that, the link to the Facebook Live over on the show notes page. But essentially, you know, look, with the algorithm update, you know, saying that friends and family should come first, that isn't new. I mean, Facebook has had that in place for a long time. I think that just there was more sort of emphasis put on this announcement that, you know, yes, posts from friends and family are going to have preference over brand updates in the newsfeed. Yeah, okay, but that's really no different than when it always has been, okay? Do I think that this affects how small businesses and entrepreneurs and local businesses should be approaching Facebook? Yes and no. I mean, I think yes, from a sense of you've got to be strategic with the content that you're putting on Facebook. And this really reiterates the notion of something I've been talking about for a long time, leading with value. The more value that you can offer on Facebook, the better. Okay. If it's helpful content, people are going to share it with their friends who they think are going to benefit from your content. And that was a big part of this algorithm news. Also is that, you know, you want to be sharing, or excuse me, you want to be posting content that people are likely going to share, because the more engaging the content, the more shareable the content, the higher it will appear in the newsfeed. So, you know, do I think that this is a huge change? No, I don't. But I also think that you've got to be strategic about this. You've got to be leading with value first and foremost. You know, do I think it's still important to create content for your Facebook page? I do, but with the caveat that it's value driven. I mean, don't be putting posts up there that are just for the heck of it. You've got to be strategic about it. I wouldn't take a ton of time with creating all kinds of posts on your page. Be strategic about it and think value first. Also, I think this is another reason why we've got to be focusing on video on Facebook. I mean, we've been talking about this forever now here in the podcast, that Facebook video is where it's at. Over 100 million plus hours are being consumed on Facebook every single day. Facebook's algorithm looks at it more favorably. It gets bigger time in the newsfeed. So video is where it's at. Whether you're posting it on your page or you're running a Facebook video ad, video is where it's at. I know I saw a stat recently from somebody at Facebook. They said in just a few years, the majority of Facebook posts are going to be video. That's really, really interesting. And then finally, Facebook at the time of this, when the algorithm update, the news of this came out, they also posted a link to, I'm reading here. It's a great article about all the values that Facebook gives to the newsfeed. It was, you know, it's called like building a better newsfeed. And they talk about the values of the types of content that they look to get into the newsfeed. So I'll be sure and link that article up in the show notes page, rickmulready.com/98. So you can go check that out. It's a really good overview. It's a very quick read. It's just like a minute, but it talks about the values of the things that Facebook looks for in the types of content that it puts in the newsfeed. So that will help you from a strategic perspective, not only from organically what you're putting on your page, but also from a Facebook ads perspective about the types of ads that you're going to create. So really good question, Veronica. This is something that's been on a lot of people's minds, and I hope that helps clear it up. All right, the next question comes from Ryan Cassidy. What's up, Ryan? He says, I'm trying to maximize the number of apps installed based on a one-day post-click attribution window. I'm not interested in post-view attribution at all because there's a lot of other advertising from us out there So the attribution for this isn't as clean as it maybe could be. Really looking at this from a direct response post-click angle. I know that I can change the attribution window when pulling a customized report, but the question really is, can I actually optimize to a customized one-day post-click attribution window in my campaign setup? If you have no idea what I'm talking about, just hang tight here as I explain this. We'll get to the next question in just a second. This is such a great question, and obviously a little bit more of an advanced question. Essentially, what Ryan is wanting to do is he wants to know, can he optimize his ads for a one-day post-click attribution window? Because when we are looking at our stats, we have the option of looking at a post-click window and a view window, and we can go up to 28 days on each one. But what Ryan is really asking here is he wants to be able to optimize the delivery of his ads based on a one-day post-click attribution. So Ryan, my answer for you is sort of. Facebook recently rolled out, so when you have website conversions as an objective, when you're setting up your ad set and you're going through like the placement and optimization and pricing, in the optimization and pricing section, you now can, well, you have an optimization for conversions. That's we've always had that. But now there's a conversion window that you can optimize for, and you can choose between one day and 7 days. And the way that Facebook explains this is they say the window that you select here lets us know whether to focus on 1 day or 7 days worth of conversion data when determining who should see your ad. So as we know, whenever we choose an objective, Facebook is saying, okay, we are going to show your ad to as many people who are most likely to take that objective or that action within the target audience that you have set up. So if you choose website conversions, Facebook is going to show your ad to as many people within the target audience that you set up who are most likely to convert. And now they've added in this extra layer here of optimization. And so they're saying, do you want to optimize for the past 1 day or 7 days? Now, so for Ryan here, you know, I would say choose the 1 day option, but I will say it's going to include view and click. At this time that I'm aware of, you can't say I only want to optimize for a 1 day post click attribution. It's going to have both. However, you can do the 1 day. You can optimize for the 1 day here. And this just recently rolled out at the time I'm recording this, within the past few weeks. So try this out, Ryan. This should give you some better, I don't want to say this will solve things for what you're trying to do, but it will probably get you closer to what you're trying to accomplish here. All right, next question comes from Mike at webalight.co. Mike says, how much do you recommend as a monthly retainer for Facebook advertising as an agency? I'm trying to change to value-based pricing from quote-unquote selling time, so any indicators would be really helpful. We're looking at adding Facebook advertising to our toolkit, and I'm keen to make it an entry-level product so it's affordable for smaller businesses. Such a great question here, Mike. I get questions about this all the time as far as how much should I charge for a service if I'm going to be offering Facebook ads as a service to local businesses. And Mike, there's really no right or wrong here. When you could really charge anywhere between, say, like $250 a month up to like $10,000 a month. It really just depends on the size of the campaigns that you are, the size of the campaign that you're going to be running, or campaigns and the budget spend, and a lot of different factors that go into it. But if you just as an entry level product, if it's just somebody very small, you know, as it for small businesses that they're just looking to get started with their Facebook ads, you know, I might look at anywhere between, say, again, there's no right or wrong on this, but if just keeping things really, really small and really simple when you're just starting out, getting some experience and also showing them what you can do, you know, I might look at charging like $500 a month for that type of service. And then, but I would make sure that you're very clear with those clients where if you're charging, you know, that little amount of money, how long that's good for. Maybe you're going to do that for 3 months, and then you're going to have another discussion about, you know, an increase in that after, you know, after the certain results are gotten or whatever. My encouragement there, though, is just make sure that you have an arrangement in place so that they're not expecting that $500 is going to be indefinite moving forward. Okay. So yeah, a lot more discussion about that coming up here in the podcast, Mike, because we do talk about that quite a bit. And make sure that you go back and reference, I'm looking down my list here. The Kerry Swetman article, episode, I should say, episode number 89. So rickmulready.com/89. Kerry is a Facebook ads manager. She runs an amazing business for herself, managing some really, really big Facebook ad accounts of online entrepreneurs. And she does a great job. And we break down her entire business during that episode. So Mike, make sure, and everybody else who's interested in learning more about running your own Facebook ads agency, if you will, rickmulready.com/89 is an episode that you definitely want to check out. All right. Next question comes from Peter Fries. He says, "Hey, Rick, I had a question that I was hoping that you could help me with. I recently launched a website conversions campaign for one of our products wherein I use add to cart as the optimization event. I chose this because Facebook advises to start up the funnel if you don't have a lot of purchase events to start." I don't know that I'd 100% agree with that, Peter, but okay, we'll keep going with this. He says, "We are now doing 30 plus orders per day for this product, so I want to switch to optimize for the purchase event. I'm just wondering the best way to do this. Some ideas: number one, pause the current ad set, duplicate it and adjust the optimization settings, then launch the new ad set. Option number two, keep the current ad set running, duplicate it and adjust the optimization settings, then launch the new ad set. My concern there would be audience overlap," he says. "And then option number three, make the change directly to the current ad set and update it while it's running." I will say, Peter, number three, I wouldn't recommend that. I'm not a big fan of making adjustments to our for like optimization, for example, changing those types of things while an ad set is running, because it messes with Facebook's algorithm. So I would say no to number three. For the other two, your second option is what I'd recommend that you do. And again, there's no right or wrong on this. This would just have to, you have to test to see which one performs better for you and gives you the types of results that you are looking for. But with that said, I would personally start off with, when I'm testing, your second option. Keep the current ad set running, duplicate it, adjust the optimization settings in that newly duplicated ad set, and then launch that one. And I know that you're concerned about audience overlap, though. Just remember that so now you're going to have an ad set that is optimizing for the add to cart, and then another ad set that's optimizing for the purchase. Okay, I might even suggest that you create a whole new campaign for that, so you keep it really clean. So one campaign is website conversions, and you're optimizing for the add to cart. Another campaign, website conversions is your objective, and you're optimizing for the purchase event. As far as the audience overlap, you're going to get some overlap there, but Facebook is going to, you want to let the algorithm work for you, okay? And so the more data that you can give it, the better off it's going to be. And so then you let the algorithm kind of work for you to get you more of the purchase events versus the ads to cart. Now, I will say, you say you're doing 30 plus orders per day for this product. So if that's too much, I don't know if that's a case where like you can't handle that many orders per day. In that case, I would just stop the add to cart one and start like a purchase event, because you've given Facebook some data there. Okay, so you've got some different options there. Again, there's no right or wrong on that. It's a matter of testing different setups there to see what is going to give you the best results. So, good question there, Peter. All right, next question comes from James Sherry from CentricMusic.com. James says, "Hi, Rick. I'm currently the content manager for a music publisher based in the UK. As opposed to traditional publishers, we have a core service open to any band, artist, or songwriter to sign up and receive an artist-friendly global publishing deal that sees us receive a 20% cut on the back end. I'm tasked with increasing our average signups to our core service, and my current strategy has been to build valuable content through blogs on our website, promote them on Facebook to a targeted audience, which is then captured by my pixel into a warm lead audience where I then deliver specific Facebook ads to that warm audience. This feeds people through to a landing page, which looks to convert them to signups on our actual website. I feel I have a decent funnel, but I'm still not seeing the conversions I'd like, and just wondered if you had any basic advice on how to develop and improve this funnel. Really good question, James. I love the strategy that you've set up here to warm people up to get them into your funnel. My first question for you that I don't have enough information here to really give you a full answer to this, James, but I wanted to talk about this because it's such a great question here, and you've got the sales funnel set up. Is my question would be, when you retarget those people, the warm audience there, you say that you're sending them to a landing page which looks to convert them to sign up on your actual website. Now, I don't know what that sign up means. Is it, you know, are they buying something? Are they actually putting their credit card down, so to speak, and paying for something? Are they signing up for, you know, to get on your email list? I don't know what that sign up actually looks like. And so that would tell me a lot more information. That would give me some more information so that I could give you some better advice on this. But to answer this question as a whole, whenever you have a sales funnel like this, in order to figure out, okay, I'm not seeing the conversions that I want, so I need to figure out where to make changes. Well, you have to know all of your metrics, all of your stats, all of your numbers throughout your entire sales funnel. So what are your Facebook ads? You know, what are the metrics from your Facebook ads? What is your cost per lead? What's your click-through rate? What's your conversion rate on the landing page? All of those stats. You've got to know those types of things. And then what is your, what's your cost per click? For example, if you're sending people from your Facebook ad to the article or to the blog post on your site, what is your cost per click? Okay. How many people are actually going to that page? How many of those people are signing up when they're on your website? Then when you're retargeting those people, again, what are those stats? What's the conversion rate on your, you send them to a landing page. Well, what is the conversion rate on that page? And depending on what that is, I like to see if it's an opt-in to an email list, I like to see at least 20%. Now, if you're having people sign up for an actual, like if they're going to pay for something, you're not going to see 20% necessarily. You're going to see a much, much smaller percentage. That's why I don't necessarily know what the answer to that is, like what a sign up for you means. But to answer your question, you've got to know the numbers. So what are all the numbers in my sales funnel? And then from there, you can look at your numbers and say, oh, okay, this is the area where my Facebook ads are doing pretty well. I'm getting people into the funnel, but you know what? The landing page isn't converting for me. So maybe at that point, I need to focus on improving the conversion on my landing page. So that's where you focus your efforts. If the traffic coming in from your Facebook ads, if you're not, you know, if the costs are high, if your cost per click is high, if your cost per lead is high, all that different stuff, and your metrics and your stats are not very good, well, then you need to make some changes there. But you can't know what to change until you know your numbers. You know, we talk a lot about here in the show, you've got to know your numbers. When you're looking at improving a sales funnel, you've got to know all of your stats along the way. Each step in your sales funnel, you've got to know the numbers so that you can make some decisions on what you need to change up, okay? So James, if you want to write back in and let me know, I'm happy to do a follow-up answer to this question for you on the next Q&A episode. But my overall answer here is you've got to know your numbers at each step along your sales funnel so that you know what to improve. All right, the last question comes from Stu Jusen, and he says, how can you use Facebook ads for the below example? If my minibus company, for example, operates in Chicago and my main market is customers in the UK, or they're from the UK, how do you efficiently target customers in the UK that are still undecided and only thinking of going on a holiday to Chicago? Stu, this is a great question, and I'm going to tell you that I don't have a good answer for you. I can tell you how I would approach this, but you're looking like, how do you efficiently target customers in the UK that are still undecided? I think you're looking for like an exact answer here, and there isn't one that I'm aware of. This is just like everything that I should say that we're talking about here in the podcast is testing different things out. And so the first question I'd want to know from you, and I would want to challenge you with, is do you know your exact target customer? Okay, so if your minibus company operates in Chicago, who are your target customers right now? Who are your ideal customers? What are they, you know, what are their habits? What are their interests? What is their demographic? What's their household income? All these things. If you don't know that information about your existing customers, then you can't answer this question here, okay, as far as how do you market your minibus company that operates in Chicago to reach people in the UK? You've got to know your existing customers first. And once you do know that information, this is really for anybody who is looking at how do I reach my exact target customer, is if you already have customers, you've got to know as much as you possibly can about them. So here in Stu's case, if he's looking to, if he operates in Chicago, but he's looking to reach a market in the UK who are thinking about going on holiday to Chicago, well, what types of information does he know about his existing customers that he could parlay into targeting people in the UK? From there, I would use the ad copy and the image in my ad to further target and further filter, if you will, my target audience, the people who I'm targeting in the UK. So you want to be talking about Chicago, interested in going on a holiday in Chicago, talking about the types of things that are going on in Chicago. Maybe it's during the summertime we want to go to Chicago in the summertime. I love Chicago. It's like my third favorite city in the country, but I don't really want to be going there in February. But, you know, it's knowing who your existing target customers are is from a demographic, from an interest, all the different types of stuff. And then I would suggest using the ad copy and the image to attract people who are considering Chicago for a holiday, okay? And talk about things that are going on in Chicago, you know, tourist attractions, that sort of thing. So that is how I would start out testing my targeting for my ads, for people who are in the UK, but that are maybe thinking about going on holiday to Chicago. All right. Hope you got a lot out of this Q&A episode today. As I mentioned at the top of the show, if you're liking the podcast here, please show your support by leaving a quick, honest rating or review for the show over on iTunes, or maybe you're listening to the podcast right now on iTunes. It's a huge help. Only takes about 30 seconds to do it. Just go to iTunes, type in The Art of Paid Traffic, click on ratings and reviews, and you can leave your honest review right there. Thanks a lot in advance for doing that. Really appreciate it. Also, as I mentioned, I've been doing a lot more Facebook Live lately. I'm loving it. And I'm going to begin doing a regularly scheduled weekly show over on my Facebook page. So if you're not yet a fan on my Facebook page, I would love to connect with you over there. You can like my page at rickmulready.com/Facebook page. That'll take you right to my Facebook page so that we can connect. All right, my friends, that is all for today's episode. Got a lot of great stuff coming your way, including in two more episodes, episode number 100, that I'm super pumped about. So until then, keep testing your paid traffic to find out what works for you and your business, and then do more of what's working. And I'll see you in the next episode.
Do you want to avoid the 7 biggest mistakes that burn through course creators' ad money? I see these over and over and over again, and I put them together in a mini email series. This is not fluff. Each of the 7 mistakes, I also have a recorded video tutorial showing you inside of Facebook Ad Manager how to fix those mistakes. This is good, solid, and it will save you money or help you make more money with your Facebook ads. Click down in the show notes below. You'll see the link, and you can go download it right now for free.